"Joshua, we can't," Melvin said. He looked desperately torn. "I don't want to abandon a whole bunch of kids down there any more than you. Even if we don't know exactly what's going on below those bloody cloud bands, we've seen and heard enough to know it ain't good. But we're never going to get past the Maranta or the Grameen. And I'll give you good odds they've picked up Kelly's message as well. They'll be extra vigilant now. Face it, we've got to wait. They'll spot us the second we turn our drive on."
"Maybe," Joshua said. "Maybe not. But first things first. Sarah, can our environmental systems cope with 30 kids and the mercenaries as well as the Edenists?"
"I don't know how big the kids are," Sarah said, thinking out loud. "Kelly did say young. There's probably room for 4 more in the zero-tower pods if we really cram them in. We can billet some in the space plane and in the MSV, use their atmospheric filters. Carbon dioxide build-up is our main problem. The filters could never scrub the amount 70 people produce. We'd have to vent it and replace it from the cryogenic oxygen reserve." Neural Nanonics ran a best and worst-case simulation. She didn't like the margins on the worst case, not one bit. "I'll give you a provisional yes, but 30 is the absolute limit, Joshua. If the mercenaries run into any other worthy cause refugees, they're just going to have to stay down there." "Okay, that leaves us with picking them up. Ashley?" The pilot gave one of his engaging grins. "I told you, Joshua. I promised them I'd go down again." "Fine. That just leaves you, Gora. You've been very quiet."
"It's your ship, Captain."
"Yes, but your children are on board, and your friends and family. They'll be exposed to a considerable risk if Lady Mac attempts to go back to La Londe. That entitles you to a say."
"Thank you, Joshua. We say this. If it was us stranded on La Londe right now, we would want you to come and pick us up."
"Very well, that's settled then. We'll try and rescue the mercenaries and the children." "One small point, Joshua," Melvin said loudly. "We're stuck in the rings with one combat wasp left, 40,000 kilometers from the edge of Murora's gravity field. If we stick our heads up, they'll be shot to buggery."
"I was in a similar situation to this a year ago."
"Joshua?" Sarah chided.
He ignored her. "It was the Ruin Ring when Neves and Sipika were coming after me. Look at where the Maranta and the Grameen are right now."
They all accessed the navigational display, neon-sharp graphics unfurling in their minds. The two searching starships extruded curved yellow orbital trajectory plots, paralleling the thick, gauzy green slab of the ring which filled the bottom half of the projection. Lady Macbeth lurked below the ring surface like some outlandish, slumbering marine creature.
"Maranta and Grameen are now 6,000 kilometers apart," Joshua said. "They've got a reasonable idea of the general area where we have to be hidden, and they've changed altitude twice in the last 15 hours to cover different sections of the ring. If they stick to that pattern, they'll change again in another 4 hours.
He ordered the display to extrapolate their positions.
"Grameen will be about 300 kilometers from us. She actually passes over us in another 90 minutes. And Maranta is going to be right out at the extreme, about 7,500 kilometers away. After that, they'll swap orbital tracks and begin a new sweep. So, if we can break out when Maranta is 7,500 clicks away, we'll be far enough ahead of it to escape."
"And Grameen?" Melvin asked. He didn't like Joshua's quiet tone, as if the young captain was afraid of what he was going to say.
"We know where it's going to be. We can leave one of the megaton nukes from the combat wasps waiting for it. Mine the ring where it will pass overhead, attach the nuke to a large rock particle. Between them, the emp pulse, the plasma wave, and the rock fragments should disable it."
"How do we get it there?" Melvin asked.
"You know bloody well how we get it there," Sarah said. "Someone's got to carry it using a maneuvering pack. Right, Joshua?
That's what you did in the Ruin Ring, isn't it?"
"Yeah, they can detect one person 15 kilometers deep in the ring, not using coal gas to manoeuvre.